Today, my dear faithful, is the glorious feast of Pentecost Sunday, and the epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I come unto you. If you love me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. They were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue, wherein we were born? Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2,000 years ago, my dear faithful, the Holy Ghost descended upon Our Lady, the apostles, and all the disciples gathered together. Though they were in a locked and shuttered room, a mighty wind arose, and tongues of fire floated in the air to rest upon each person's head. Then, as today's epistle describes it, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. By diverse tongues is meant each person began to speak in foreign languages, languages they had no knowledge of before. Maybe God granted them the knowledge of the language in an instant, or he might have simply changed the sound in the other person's ears so that others heard their own language, even though the original person was speaking only in their own. Whatever may have been the method, the apostles went out into the streets of Jerusalem. St. Peter preached his first sermon, and he converted 3,000 souls in one day. Truly, my dear faithful, Pentecost was an extraordinary event. And in this past century, there are some who wanted to relive the excitement of it for themselves. You see, in 1967, just 2 years after the closing of the Second Vatican Council, two Catholic men of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, were in search of what they described as a spiritual experience. They wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to speak in tongues, to feel that excitement in practicing their Catholic faith. Their names were Ralph Kiefer, a graduate student of a Catholic university, while the other was William Story, a history professor of that same university. In pursuit of this spiritual experience, both of these men, again themselves Catholic, decided to attend an Episcopalian prayer meeting. For some reason, they thought they could find the Holy Ghost at a Protestant service, and reportedly, that is what happened. According to their claims, Ralph and William were baptized in the Holy Spirit during that prayer service. Afterwards, they told others about it, and the following week, Ralph laid his hands on a few more professors from the university so that they too could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just as Ralph had been when he had attended a heretical sect's false worship. Word of this began to spread. Other students and parishioners asked Ralph to lay his hands on them as well, and when he did, they reportedly spoke in tongues. Ralph gathered a following behind him, which formed the nucleus for what is now called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. The center of their devotion is seeking a personal relationship with our Lord, with a heavy focus on emotional experiences, and as well, charismata, or miracles. The miraculous charismata, such as speaking in foreign languages, or healing someone by praying over them, this is where the name charismatic comes from, and shows how important these extraordinary gifts are to these groups. At first, this charismatic movement was not well received by the church, but as the modernism of Vatican II spread its influence and practices, the charismatic renewal garnered approval as well, until in 1975, Paul VI personally gave his approval to it. Today, charismatic groups are some of the central means of facilitating the new church's ecumenical movement. That is, just as Ralph Kiefer's prayers with Protestants began all of this, so now many of this movement hold prayer meetings with heretics and schismatics themselves. Now, my dear faithful, even with just a cursory overview of this history, we can see there is a grave problem with this movement. There is such a focus on emotion, the excitement of miracles, and it is closely tied to the evil of false ecumenism, which treats the Catholic faith as equal to false religions. Why are these wrong? False ecumenism goes without saying, but emotion is a good thing of itself. God is the one who put it as part of our human nature. But it is also what we share with animals. Animals do not grow in sanctity. Their emotions don't draw them closer to God. Mankind's intellect and free will, these are the great gifts we have from God that sets us apart from the animals, and by which we earn our place in heaven. Feeling deep emotional experiences, as the charismatic movement seeks, that is not holiness, and thus it cannot be the ultimate goal. The same is true of miracles. These charismatic groups often claim powers of faith healing, making prophecies, speaking in tongues, amongst other so-called miracles. In fact, speaking in tongues is a common part of their prayer meetings, And it usually means people speaking not a language they never knew before, but actually nonsensical sounds strung together that actually mean nothing. The claims of faith healings often have the same results, proven falsehoods that do nothing except scandalize, such as the case of a little boy who was told he was cured of polio, and so his parents stopped seeking help for him. That little boy soon died, and the faith healing was proven a fraud. Whatever the truths of these claims, it really does not matter in showing that this searching for miracles is not a good thing. Father Garrigou Lagrange, a renowned theologian of this past century, who defended the faith against modernism throughout his life, he explains that miracles are not holiness. Yes, the lives of the saints are often decked with miraculous happenings, and these do show God's approval on their works. If truth be told, the Church does not canonize a saint without at least four miracles showing the divine approval of this person. However, miracles merely show God's approval. They don't remove sin. They can't open the gates of heaven. In fact, no miracle has ever saved a single soul, but has only helped souls to accept grace from God. Because of this, Father Lagrange explains, the sacrament of baptism of a little infant is a far greater thing than any miracle that has ever been worked. Again, miracles and emotions can't be the goal of true devotion. Now, there is one kernel of truth to be found in the charismatic movement, and that is seeking a personal relationship with our Lord. Depending on the definition of that, that is definitely a good thing, and is in fact the path to sanctity. We should all strive to know and love our Lord as our closest friend, our protective Father, our loving Savior, our infinite God. And the way to do this? Grow in sanctifying grace by receiving the sacraments and persevering in the practice of virtue, above all in charity. That is sanctity. That is the triumph of heaven. And that is the true great wonder of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. On that day, the Holy Ghost gave these humble fishermen miraculous powers, yes, but far greater, he strengthened the apostles in virtue. He increased their sanctifying grace and showered them with actual graces. Their minds were enlightened, their hearts were strengthened, and they were drawn nearer to God. Only then could they truly take their place as apostles, not just in name, but in reality. That, my dear faithful, is what we must aim for, to grow in sanctity, that each of us may be apostles in our own lives. Emotions may rise, making us feel wonderful in our devotions, or they may fall, so that prayer and virtue simply don't feel good. God may visibly answer our prayers with wonders, or he may leave us to carry the cross by not giving us what we asked. True love of God, real holiness, perseveres through it all. After Pentecost, whether the apostles were surrounded by devout followers or hate-filled tormentors, they were apostles always, because they chose to love God and follow his will, no matter what may happen. That is our great work of each and every day. We are not failing when prayer doesn't feel good or when we can't speak in tongues. No, we fail when we sin. We succeed when we practice virtue. Step by step, we carry our cross each day, following after Christ. And only by this are we worthy of him, as our Savior himself declared. One of the greatest aids to this growth in virtue is the practice of meditation or prayer of the heart. The most common method of meditation is to spend some time in considering a story from the life of our Lord, Our Lady's life, or of the saints, then to draw a moral from that story and make a particular resolution to follow it in our own life. This is, in fact, what the Rosary is meant to help you do. For instance, when you come to the third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles, you can picture this scene in your mind. Imagine the dark room, shuttered and locked, the wind roaring through, the fire floating in the air, hanging above each head. And then you see these men, so weak before, become true apostles. What lesson can you draw from this scene? One is that you too must be firmly resolved to practice virtue no matter the cost, to burn with love for God, and to brave anything to love him better. Then, with a resolution like this in mind, consider what you can do differently in your own life. What can you do to avoid that particular sin that you have been struggling with? What sacrifice will help you practice virtue? What is stopping you from drawing nearer to God? With a meditation like this, you will use all your faculties, your intellect to consider the truth, your will to choose the good, even your emotions to help your resolution. The practice of meditation, my dear faithful, should have been what Ralph Kiefer and William Story sought to practice instead of attending a Protestant service. We don't need these spiritual, emotional experiences like that to grow in our love for God. We don't need the extraordinary, because the greatest work of the Holy Ghost for mankind is remaking each of us in the image of God. That is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, true sanctity, and what we must strive for each day. This Feast of Pentecost, then, my dear faithful, and always, strive to carry your cross each day, and God will work a wonder in you. May each of our minds be lit with the truth of the faith. May our hearts be set aflame with love for God. May we all be true apostles in our own lives, working for our salvation and the salvation of others. For that is the great triumph that we each are meant to earn in our lives. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.